is nigh. A cataclysm is coming, and Azeroth will never be the same again. This is a final voyage through the old world. And these are the many wonders you'll see.
And welcome to episode 1 of Postcards from the Old World, a new podcast from Alea Iacta Est that will take you on a tour of Azeroth as it is now, and soon never will be again. I'm Gaffoni.
And I'm Arezzo, and we're going to be your guides on this grand tour. In the coming cataclysm, the world of Warcraft is going to be shattered beyond recognition. Old zones will be remade, sundered, and otherwise changed in ways that we still can't fully comprehend. Kalimdor and the Eastern Kingdoms, home to all the playable races of the game, will no longer be the lands we know. So by way of commemoration and celebration of the places that we've loved, loathed, or just flown over without stopping, Postcards from the Old World is born.
Over the next dozen shows, we're going back to the Old World, exploring it with new eyes and with a different perspective than just levelling our way through it as fast as we can. Make no mistake, this isn't a levelling guide, or a quest guide, or even a class guide. There are already plenty of those out there. What this is, plain and simple, is a tourist guide, in which we'll take in the sights, highlight those off-the-beaten-track secrets, and make sure that once it's all changed, we at least know what we've lost. We're mostly looking at the world through Horde eyes, as that's where we and AIE live, but we'll make sure not to overlook the Alliance zones as we go too. To help the process, we've each rolled new characters, and in keeping with the slightly nostalgic theme of the show, we've returned to our roots and revisited the very first classes we each played. I'm playing Voya, a mage.
And I'm playing Bachi, a priest. We introduced Bachi and Voya to the world a few weeks ago, and we've made a start exploring with them already. Through the run of the podcast, we'll be out in the world visiting the places we know and love, and finding new ones, hopefully with the help of people listening to this podcast, and there'll be more on that later.
In this first show, we're going to talk about the starting zones, and from there, in weeks to come, we'll be heading out around the world as we level our characters. In each show, we'll say in advance where we'll be on the next show, and through the podcast and the AIE forum, we'll be inviting opinions on the zones, suggestions of places to visit, and anything else people think will enhance this guide. We're also expecting to find ourselves surprised as we revisit parts of the world that we've become blasé about as we've leveled through them time and time again before. We think it will be a fascinating and, we hope, illuminating journey. So let's get started. As we said, this first episode deals with the Horde starting zones. They're the Valley of Trials, Sunstrider Isle for the Blood Elves, Death Knell, the Undead starting zone, and Red Cloud Mesa, the Tauren homelands. We put a poll up on the AIE forums to get people to vote for their favourite of these starting zones and also to leave some feedback on what they thought of the zones. So we'll be going through some people's comments, and we'll also be revealing the results of the poll in this show.
As we enter each zone, we'll be getting a brief introduction to set its scene. We've recruited fellow AIE member Irisine to provide these snapshots, so you'll be hearing her voice throughout the series. Here she is to begin with, introducing us to the Valley of Trials.
Though secluded from the rest of Durotar, the Valley of Trials shares many features of the region's landscape. Rugged orange rocks with sparse vegetation and scattered animal life adapted to the harsh conditions. This is a land where scorpids roam and boars snuffle in the dust. The valley offers no illusions for young orcs and trolls about the world they can expect once they venture outside its enclosing cliff walls. But within the valley, travelers will find respite from the harsh conditions and humanoid company in the den, while those venturing to the north of the region may encounter roaming imps, a sign of the growing presence of Burning Blade cultists in the area.
Coming in at number 4 on our poll with only 18% of the vote, the Valley of Trials wasn't many people's favourite zone, and quite frankly, I can sympathise with them. But Arezzo, you started levelling a troll for this whole experiment. How did you find going through it again?
Let's just say I wasn't terribly surprised that it didn't do better in the poll. I think the difficulty that I have with the Valley of Trials, well, one of the difficulties I have with the Valley of Trials is it's just physically a bit uninspiring. It's quite flat. It's got, you know, a very orange theme to it, which is fairly undifferentiated. It's all got a bit of a sparse look about it, and it doesn't really feel terribly inspiring. And obviously a little bit of that is carried on through once you go to Durotar, but the zone itself, I just found a little bit less than exciting, less than inspiring, and didn't really give me a great sense that this was going to be a fantastic experience. And I think that's part of why it probably didn't do terribly well in the poll.
I think that's probably one of the things for me. You talk about how the color palette carries through into Durotar. One of the biggest things at early levels, and thankfully this has changed a lot, now we're further on in the game and they've changed when you get a mount and things like that. But when you're running from place to place on foot, if it all looks the same, it feels so much longer to get there. And for me, the Valley of Trials twinned with Durotar makes for a very, very boring starting experience. But that's just me. There are things about the Valley of Trials that are quite important. As we'll visit these starting zones, we discover that most of them introduce a threat that's kind of key to the game at large, and key if you follow that particular quest chains through. They crop up again in the second lot of zones, the level 5 to 10 zones. And here in the Valley of Trials, it is the Burning Blade cult, the offshoot orc tribe who are determined to bring around the end of the world. There's a cave at the back of Valley of Trials where you fight a few little imps, and there's a cultist in there who you're sent to kill, and then doing that leads you on into Durotar and beyond. Some people did vote it their favourite. Ponsonby, a fellow Brit, said that he voted for Valley of Trials, quote, "for one reason and one reason only, the best quest in the game, Lazy Peon." I think saying it's the best quest in the game is a bit of a stretch, again, from my point of view, but it is certainly fun hearing those little orc noises when you poke them, when you hit them with your stick. But just a few sound files is not enough for me to lift the zone to the level of a classic, and clearly not for many other people.
Though it has to be said that that quest also did feature in a couple of other comments. Took a comment, said his favourite real world zone is Valley of Trials, old world zone, sorry, because Valley of Trials, because, well, it's close to the place where Vol'jin will lead my people to victory and take back the Echo Isles, Mon, but I also love the Lazy Peon quest. So he managed to mix the lore reason for it being good with the bashing orcs on the head with a stick reason to bring up a little bit of love for the Valley of Trials. And one of the other comments that came up was from Ishtut, less than positive, to be honest. Valley of Trials is so desolate looking that I always felt bad for Hanazua. He might die out here and no one would know until the sun bleached his skeleton.
I think one of the key things we'll find as we discuss these is the starting zones, you spend so little time there nowadays, particularly if you're rolling an alt and you know what you're doing. You're just there to get the first 5 levels under your belt, get out and get going. The way people have voted seems to have been dictated more by the feel of the zone than the quests particularly, or exactly what you find there. Because if you are spending an hour there, you just want it to feel nice and get on with it. Which leads us into the next two zones are both equal second. They've both got 24% of the vote, but we will start with the Blood Elf zone of Sunstrider Isle.
Named for the leader of the High Elves, Sunstrider Isle lives through an eternal springtime. There is little evidence here of the devastation of the Blood Elf lands beyond, though the first tasks for young adventurers here offer clues to the terror wrought by the Scourge upon the once shining Silver Moon City. Magical creatures have broken free of Blood Elf control, while a rogue elf will stop at nothing to sate his craving for the arcane.
So, in the same way as I had the experience of starting my troll in the Valley of Trials, you started your Blood Elf in Sunstrider Isle. So what did you think of it?
Yes, my little Blood Elf mage. One of the reasons I picked it, and one of the reasons every now and again when I try an alt and I go for Sunstrider, is the same reason several other people seem to have voted for it. The comments we've got about Sunstrider are less about what happens there lore-wise, they're less about what the zone is like, although several people picked up on how pretty it is. Let's pick a few of them and we'll see. Kefas says Sunstrider Isle is easy to follow and quick to get around. Zare says Sunstrider has the best quest flow. And Lechuk says Sunstrider Isle is better designed and has better quests for actually moving you through the content. The fact is, Sunstrider was obviously added later with the Burning Crusade, and we all know how improved the questing experience was in Burning Crusade compared to the original game. And this starting zone, and the same is true of the Draenei starting zones, which are still my favourite in the game, they are simply better designed game experiences. And I think this is why quite a few people have voted for them. It is an undeniably pretty zone. Again, not as pretty as the Draenei, but let's not go there right now. There are good quests. That there's one quest in particular that introduces you to your racial ability, and you won't find that in any other starting zone. There's also a general introduction to the sense of magic out of control, which is the Blood Elf thing. The kind of final villain of the starting zone is a wretched, as they're known, someone who's out of control, addicted to magic, who you've got to defeat, and then before you move on.
I have to admit, Sunstrider is an area that I haven't spent a great deal in, a great deal of time in. I haven't leveled many Blood Elves. So I'm not as familiar with the area, but one of the things that struck me about actually the way that Sunstrider then leads into the next couple of areas for the Blood Elves is that it does feel a little bit more like it's part of one ongoing longer story than some of the others do. I think the other zones tend to introduce, you know, an element which tends to be a, you know, kill this and then move on and tell somebody that you've killed it or whatever it might be. The Blood Elf stuff just to me feels like there's a story, and actually we'll probably end up picking this up when we come to talk about the Ghostlands in a little while, that this story does start in one place and lead you through to a, you know, at least a kind of partial conclusion. And that's something I have always appreciated about Sunstrider as a kickoff zone.
It's less the one disappointment. One of the greatest design elements of the Blood Elf zones is the Dead Scar, which tears all the way through it. But doesn't start in Sunstrider. And the one disappointment is that the quests make mention of the Scourge and the undead threat and everything that's happened to Silvermoon. But it doesn't show you that. It just shows you a bunch of angry trees and a few kind of arcane creatures on the wonderful structure at the back of the zone above the lake. To me, that's a bit of a letdown. But only a slight one, because honestly, the rest of the Blood Elf zones are so well designed. And again, this is an example in the way the Valley of Trials isn't. Although it's quite similar, the trees and the grass is quite similar to Eversong Woods, the next zone you'll move into. There's a lot of variety of landscape there. You've got the Falrithian Academy, this wonderful curving structure at the back of the zone. You've got the Shrine of Dathramar and the slope down to the coast, where if you look across the water, you can see the Isle of Caldenas. There are lots of things to see, and each corner of the zone isn't quite like another corner, unlike the Valley of Trials, where one corner is orange and rocky and the next is orange and rocky. This is just a little bit more varied. But the fact that it came equal second honestly quite surprises me based on people's comments, because the next zone we'll be dealing with, people had some very strong and interesting things to say about the flavour of the zone, and that is Deathknell.
The town of Deathknell and its immediate area is a scene of almost constant conflict. The Forsaken who hold the southern part of the town face daily disruption by mindless Scourge minions, while the mine, which used to be the source of the town's prosperity, is overrun by deadly spiders. Like the rest of Tirisfal, the land around the town is wooded and hilly, with drifting mist creating a highly atmospheric landscape. Of late, the arrival of a division of Scarlet Crusaders has made the land more dangerous for travelers, especially for the Forsaken, who call this land home.
Just like Sunstrider Isle, Deathknell got 24% of the vote, putting it at equal second. And people's comments about this were, like I said, much more about the flavour and the story of the zone.
Yeah, Salvatore said, I voted for Deathknell because I really appreciate the sense of being born. We join non-forsaken characters having already lived a portion of their lives, which I suppose we can presume they're setting aside to become adventurers. Forsaken characters, too, certainly have histories when they were living beings, but waking up in a crypt and starting one's life as undead kind of feels like a clean break, which I like with a new character. And Grimclaw's comment was very similar. I absolutely love the Forsaken areas, both because I really dig the effort the devs went into to convey that this was once a vibrant human settlement that can be seen in other games and is now a shadow of what it once was, and because starting in a crypt is awesome. And I think both of those comments really reflect what I think is key to that sense of the experience of starting a Forsaken character in Deathknell, is that, you know, you wake up in a crypt and you're starting your new life. Having already had an existence that is now over, and now you're part of a new community in a new world, looking at things with new eyes. There's very much a sense when you get out into the town of Deathknell as well that this is an area that's kind of, it's somewhat under siege. You know, there's all sorts of stuff going on around, and that sense of conflict that was mentioned in the introduction is much more obvious here than it is in the other zones. So I think there's an awful lot to be said for Deathknell. I think it's got a lot of character. It's got a lot of atmosphere, certainly. And that whole area is one that gives much more of a sense of being thrown straight into an ongoing series of events, I think, than some of the other zones do. Now, one of the things that we wanted to have in this podcast especially is more voices. And one of the things we ask people to do is submit a voice clip saying what they thought of the zones that we were going to be talking about. Now, we only had one submitted for this first show. Hopefully we'll have more in the future, but it's specifically relevant to this discussion of Deathknell. So without further ado, here is the voice of Rajin.
Hi, Arezzo and Gaffoni. This is Rainian, otherwise known as Rajin, or Mr. Manners if you prefer. You were asking about start zones and what we think about them. Well, I figured I'd share my two cents here. Sunstrider Isle probably is one of the most beautiful of them. The quests are pretty well designed and closely located. Red Cloud Mesa is very beautiful, but there's that really long run that I hate between the camp and the Quillbor. But I think my favorite from an RP perspective has got to be Deathknell. I mean, the idea that you're set in motion as an undead by waking up in a crypt, meeting a guy up top who says, great, he was about to burn the body, glad you're still alive, and then they put you right to work. It's a great setup. It gives you a lot of different directions that you can go for your character or start developing some quirks from right there. Either way, look forward to hearing the podcast.
See, I think Rajin hit upon it there. It's the fact that Deathknell doesn't just throw you into the action straight away. It gives you a really clear key, this is what it means to be undead. There's less of that in the All Control starting area, perhaps because it's dealing with two. There's a little bit of that in Sunstrider Isle, where you learn about the Blood Elves' addiction to magic. And there is some of that in Red Cloud Mesa, which we'll come to in a moment. But none of it has that single clear example that Raja mentions, you know, which demonstrates what it means to be an undead in this game. Okay, so finally, we'll turn to the winner of our poll, and I think you can guess which one it is.
Far to the south of Thunder Bluff, in the very heart of Kalimdor, Red Cloud Mesa rises above the rolling plains of Mulgore, offering a safe and secluded space for inexperienced Tauren to begin their journey in the world. From the encampment at Narache, elders oversee their charges as they embark on their earliest challenges. The land is largely free of dangers to either visitors or natives, though to the east a tribe of vicious Quillbors have encroached into the twisted, thorny canyons of Brambleblade Ravine. Unwary travelers should beware.
So at number one, with 34% of the vote, Red Cloud Mesa, the Tauren starting zone. Bobo Shanti called the zone very underappreciated and drew attention to the starting storyline of having to prove yourself among your people before even setting out into the real world. He said, Mulgore is very insular and it's a healthy trek to actually get to Thunderbluff on foot, is it ever? But he says the zone has a trifecta of content there with lore, quest lines, and the environment. The environment was a key thing for a couple of Arizona natives, including Tetsemi, saying, maybe it's the Arizona native in me, but I love the look and feel of the zone. The quests feel right for the zone, and it seems the most peaceful zone, which matches with what I think the Torrent area should feel like. Molly Shot agreed with him entirely, saying, you pretty much took the words right out of my mouth. Now, I've got a problem with the Arizona native thing here, because to me, Arizona is the Grand Canyon. I've never been, but that's what Arizona is to me. I don't know, have you ever been to Arizona?
I have, yeah.
Okay. Can you confirm to me, because Arizona, my stereotypical picture of Arizona is the Valley of Trials and Durotar more than it is Mulgore and the Torrent Zones.
Actually, interestingly, I would have thought that the stereotypical view of Arizona was more Thousand Needles. With all the great,
oh, we're leaping ahead.
Well, exactly. With all the with all the great big, you know, kind of columns of stone.
So it's down to the columns of stone, because obviously there's a lot of that in Mulgore and around. But they strike me as too grassy for Arizona. Maybe I just don't know Arizona enough.
Maybe you haven't been to the right parts of Arizona.
Obviously not. Obviously not. But yes, our winning zone and a favourite for both of us, because our mains are both Torrens, is Red Cloud Mesa, and it does do a fantastic job. Boba Shanti describes the kind of the triple whammy of the quests, the lore, and the environment, and it really does give this sustained feeling of what it means to be a Torrent. And the quests deal with, you go through a number of trials to prove yourself to your tribe, and it really does key into that whole what it means to be a Torrent in Azeroth.
Yeah, totally. And I think the whole feel of the zone, it's very open. It, you know, it does have that kind of rolling plains kind of feel to it, which is then very much carried through to Mulgore. And I would argue actually that by the time you spent a bit of time in Mulgore, I personally would expect people to get a little bit sick of the rolling plains, but as an introduction, when you first get into them, it does feel like it's a very open area. It gives you a lot of opportunity to kind of run around and just explore. And it feels like the kind of place that doesn't have the sort of boundaries around it that somewhere like the Valley of Trials does.
I don't know that you do ever get sick of it. In, you know, when you were doing achievements and things like that, and you're on your level 80 and you have to go back to all these starting zones, the one I enjoy going back to is Bloodhoof Village, is that whole area. Because it's pretty. Every now and again, and you've seen me do this, I will go on my level 80 Torrent. I will hang out right where people start, at Camp Narache in Red Cloud Mesa, and I will give new Torrens 1 gold each, just because it's fun. And now you're all going to roll Torrens, aren't you? And just hang around waiting for Gafoni to log in and give you free gold. But yeah, there's a connection, and I think this is shared probably most with the undead, but even then I think the Torrens have the edge. There is a connection with being a Torrent all the way through the game. It means something. And I think this zone lets you into that flavour from the minute you roll your character.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And I think, you know, the very large majority of the characters that I've ever really played, very much beyond, you know, kind of the first 10 or 12 levels, have been Torrent. And there's definitely a feel of connection back to this whole area, you know, kind of Mulgore more generally, but that feeling goes all the way back to, as you said, to Camp Narache, and that whole experience of arriving there, being sent out into the world, being as people have said, you know, having that experience of having to prove yourself before you can then make that great long run round to Bloodhoof Village, and that connection doesn't ever really go away. You know, I mean, the day that we're recording this, I started looking at some Noble Garden stuff on my level 80 warrior, and I, you know, I went and did some picking up eggs and things in various places, and one of the things you have to do is go back to the various first towns, and I went to Bloodhoof and actually found myself running up the road to the Mesa as well, because it just definitely felt like this was like coming home. And I think that's something that nowhere else in the game has ever really given me on any other characters.
Absolutely. You feel more like a returning hero, but when you turn around as a level 80 Blood Elf or whatever and go back, you just feel like some bloke in the starting area. There's just something about being a Torrent. Maybe we're biased. I think we both voted this as our favourite as well, didn't we? Yeah, maybe we are biased.
I think looking at the vote as a whole, one of the things that's really struck me and surprised me is that give everyone talks about the fact that between the launch of Vanilla and the launch of Burning Crusade, Blizzard learned so much about structuring quest lines and all of that kind of stuff that people talk about, that I'm really, really surprised that it wasn't Sunstrider that came out ahead on this, because you know that's where people get that sense of they've learned and they've improved and that this is a different kind of experience. And I'm very pleasantly surprised that actually it's one of the vanilla starting zones that came out at the head of this. But it is a surprise. I was very shocked when I started to see those results come in. I certainly voted for Red Cloud Mesa and looked at the results expecting, you know, to be one of the trailing results, one of the trailing options, and actually just wasn't the case.
I'm possibly less surprised by it. I think I gave some thought to the Alliance zones while we were putting the show together. And the standout zones for me are the Night Elf zones, which we'll come to again in a moment, and the Draenei zones. And they're both ones that tell a story of what it means to be that race, to be a member of that race. You're taught about Teldrassil and the new tree the Night Elves are trying to create. And equally, you're taught about the crash of the Draenei ship into the world and the terrible effects it's wrought on the environment around it. And it puts you in that world, and it gives you a place in that world and a meaning in that world, in the way that particularly something like the human starting zone, or equally the orc starting zone, doesn't really.
You may be right. And I think one of the things that does lead into is what, you know, what we said we would do, which is to look at the Alliance zones that we're kind of equivalently leveling past.
Absolutely.
As we go.
When we started outlining the show and how we were going to do it, there's obviously a deadline here we've got to hit, and we're gambling on when we think Cataclysm is going to be released. We reckon Cataclysm is going to hit in October and the show will be over by then. But when we sat down and drew up a list of all the zones, we were originally thinking one zone a show. You know, little short half-hour show, deal with one zone per show. I think the list of zones ended up being something like 55, and we thought there is no way we can do this. So we've had to conflate several zones into each show, as you'll see as we go along. And we realised we'd probably wanted to look at certain Alliance zones in more detail. We realised we are just not going to have the time to do everything we want to do in 12 zones. So in each show, our friend Beira is going to be giving us a wonderful little segment focusing in on one Alliance equivalent zone to the ones we're dealing with in these shows. And in this first show, she's looking at the Night Elf starting zone.
Ishnuala, welcome to Aldrasil. If you're a Lord of the Rings fan, this is the starting zone for you. While none of the Night Elves look like Cate Blanchett, their story feels familiar. They were once known as Children of the Stars, but now the Night Elves are a fated race, no longer immortal since they were severed from the Well of Eternity and from the World Tree. The Druids, desperate to retain their culture and their power, formed Teldrassil, another World Tree, but one that remains unblessed. Atop Teldrassil, the city of Darnassus shelters reclusive Night Elves who still seek to regain their power and to heal the land of the corruption that was wrought in the Third War. East of Darnassus, Aldrasil shelters young Night Elf adventurers. There they are initiated into the fight against the corruption and introduced to the mysterious moonwells that dot Azeroth. These moonwells glow with the power that sustains the Night Elves and their World Tree. They are said to hold water from the Well of Eternity itself, but they are also shrines to the moon goddess Ilune, and said to harness the power of Azeroth's two moons. In Aldrasil, adventurers will help to purge corrupted wildlife. They'll be sent to study the flora and fauna, and they'll even help to save a hapless Night Elf who apparently didn't know that he shouldn't play with giant furry green spiders. When Night Elves speak, they sound as if they've been sedated. Some say that it's a symptom of the Emerald Dream. I say it's because young Night Elves spend too much time running circles around Aldrasil, and the resulting dizziness just never wears off. This is one of the most compact starting areas, and you can complete quests there quite efficiently with four laps around Aldrasil's giant trunk. Then you'll be off to Dolinar, bearing a flask of water from the Moonwell. But before you go, be sure to take a jump off Aldrasil. You may find the landing a bit hard, but it's worth the ride.
That was lovely. Thank you, Bayera. So now we're going to really quickly talk about our favourite Alliance starting zones. I've already mentioned that my favourite is the Draenor. I'll come back to that in a minute. I'm interested to hear what Arezzo's is.
Mine is inevitably, I think, going to be the Night Elf zone. I have a long and storied history of druids on both sides of the game. And obviously my Alliance druids in the past have only ever been able to be Night Elves. So I've spent a lot of time in that area. I think it's great. I think it's got a very atmospheric kind of feel to it. It really does that job we were just talking about of introducing you to the race that you're in and the kind of what it means to be in that race, of that race. And I like it a lot. I think my second place would probably be the dwarves and gnomes, mostly because you and I have long held favoritism towards very snowy regions, and I really like that kickstart into Dunmorah. But the winner for me is definitely the Night Elves.
And for me, as I said before, it's the Draenei. I love the design of the zones just visually. I think they're beautiful. The sounds, the background sounds are really atmospheric. The quests are great. They're really good fun. And there are hidden blood elves to kill and get a very expensive mask off. They're really good fun. Oh, and Murlocs. I don't think a starting zone is complete without Murlocs. And I think this is where the Alliance has the edge on us. And I'm trying to think... Well, I'm leaping ahead. Sorry. The Murloc stuff comes in levels 5 to 10. We'll have to do a Murloc chart to see what percentage of Horde level 5 to 10 zones have Murlocs and what level of Alliance, because I think the Alliance have the edge. But we will come to the Murloc chart in the next show.
Every show should have one.
Okay, so talking about the next show brings us to discussing where we go from here and how you can be involved. As each episode of Postcards from the Old World is released, a new thread for the following show will be posted on the forums. In that thread, we'll tell you which zones we're dealing with. There, you can give your feedback on the topic for that show or vote in any polls we've got going. The episode 2 thread will be up by the time you hear this, and it covers Durotar, Mulgor, Tirith Fall Glades and Eversong Woods, so that's all the level 5 to 10 zones for the Horde side. It will also have our first look at one of the Horde cities, the Orc capital of Orgrimmar. As well as the forum thread, you can email us your thoughts at postcards@aie-guild.org. You can send us sound files to that email too, and we'll include them on the show. You can also email us any screenshots and we'll put them into the enhanced version of the podcast so you can look at it on your computer screen or your iPod.
But one of the most interesting ways of getting involved is to start leveling your own tune. Remember, this is your last chance to see all this stuff before the Cataclysm wipes it out. You can keep pace with our adventures and let us know about your own journey through the Old World.
And that's absolutely... Honestly, we're finding it the best way to research the show is to be there on the ground and to do it and to experience the quests and follow the stories, because I think even when we leveled our earliest characters, we probably didn't pay as much attention as we're paying to this stuff now.
No, I think that's true. I think there's a tendency to pay less attention to the world and more attention to what you're doing in it, whether that's questing, leveling, however you look at it. The world itself is just almost wallpaper if you don't really take the time to stop and look around.
Absolutely. And in leveling a character to 80, you just want to get there as fast as you can, and Blizzard has made it very easy to get there as fast as you can with the heirloom items and the changes to the way you get XP, the speed you get XP. And so it makes a difference to actually stop and smell the flowers, as the old saying goes. I think we've already realised that at times during our levelling, we're going to go and have to visit that NPC in Orgrimmar and pay him to switch off our levelling, just so we remain level appropriate and can pick up all the quests we need to pick up as we go along. There are other options, of course. Instead of levelling your own characters, obviously you can go on your memories, things that you've found in these zones as you've gone along in the past that are still your favorite things. You can revisit them on your level 80 things and have a good look around. One of the kind of things we're interested most in are the secret nooks and crannies, the most interesting quests, the little hidden treasures and corners that are really easy to miss on your way through the zones. And this is where we come to something of a confession. I think one of the things we're most worried about this episode, and I hope you're still listening, is how boring it is, because the starting zones the very starting zones for each race, they're not the most interesting zones in the game.
No, I think you know, we both became aware of this as we were spending time in them again. They're not terribly interesting because really they are very functional. They're there to be leveled through relatively quickly to introduce people to the basic ideas of, you know, of playing the game. You know, it's how you hit things, how you cast a spell, the idea of quests, all of those things that are just fundamental mechanics of the game are introduced in those zones. So whether they've got great storylines going on or interesting quests or whether they feel or look in a particular way is almost irrelevant to the purpose of those zones, which is the same across all four of them. It's to introduce you to how you play the game.
Yeah.
So the content and the way that you view them, I think when you start putting all four of them together, does start to feel a little bit flat. And I think that's something we were definitely aware of as, you know, as we put this stuff together for this first show.
Totally. I mean, we've already, for the next show, we've already gone through Tirisfal Glades and Durotar, and we found a million more interesting things to talk about because they are basically more interesting zones.
And I think, you know, as we carry on, one of the things that we'll also probably find increasingly is that as well as the zones themselves being bigger and having more going on in them and being able to be viewed in a number of different ways, I suspect that some of the input that we're going to get from other people will start to broaden the perspective on them as well.
Definitely. There are many more options for you to tell us about things we may have missed simply because the zones are that much bigger and there's that much more going on in them, that there are loads more things to talk about. So, yeah, that's episode 2, Durotar, Mulgore, Tirisfal Glades, Everson Woods, and Orgrimmar. As a little heads up, if you want to get ahead and start finding out things for episode 3, we'll be moving on at that point to Ghostlands, the Barons. Hooray! We might have to turn on Barons chat, just
that
for old times' sake.
That will be fun, won't it?
Yeah, Ghostlands, the Barons, and Silver Pine Forest, one of my favourites. They'll be in episode 3, along with the Undead Capital City, Undercity.
And if there's anything at all in those zones that you think we absolutely have to see as we level, drop us a line at postcards@aie-guild.org and we'll make sure that Voya and Batchy check it out as we go.
But for now, all that remains to say is thank you very much for listening. I'll be back in a week on the AIE podcast and we'll be talking a bit more about the show on there, I should think. I would like to say thank you to Bearbutt for providing our opening narration. Thank you to Irisine for providing our little guides to the zones. And thank you to Bayera for providing the Alliance point of view.
And apart from that, I think we're kind of done. Looking forward to the next zones. And also, I think looking forward to hearing a little bit more about what you would like us to check out as we go and share with the world.
Definitely. This is as much your podcast as it is ours, and we want to draw on your experiences and your knowledge about the world to make this the definitive guide to Azeroth before it's completely destroyed in the Cataclysm.
So thank you for listening, and goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.